Hello, this is Anvati. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Wednesday, April 9th, and coming up in today's episode, Mamata Banerjee claims Waqf Act won't be implemented in Bengal. Mumbai blast key accused reportedly being flown to India. Ruckus in Jammu and Kashmir Assembly after alleged remarks against Hindus. China extends olive branch to India to fight against Trump tariffs together. And RBI cuts down repo rate. West Bengal Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee announced today that the state will not implement the Waqf Amendment Act. Speaking at a Jain community event in Kolkata, Ms. Banerjee assured that she would protect the minority communities and their properties. She said, and I quote, "I know you are aggrieved because of the enactment of the Waqf Act. Have faith, nothing will happen in Bengal that will divide and rule," unquote. Ms. Banerjee also drew a comparison to Bangladesh, stating, quote, "See the situation in Bangladesh. This Waqf bill should not have been passed now," unquote. The Waqf Amendment Bill was passed in Lok Sabha last Thursday and in the Rajya Sabha early on Friday after long debates. The bill received President Draupadi Murmu's assent on Saturday. However, the Waqf Amendment Bill has faced significant opposition. A series of petitions challenging the bill will be heard by the Supreme Court on April 16th. The government has filed a caveat requesting that no orders be passed without hearing its side. So far, 15 petitions have been filed with objections raised by opposition and sections of Muslim community. The most contentious provisions in the bill include the requirement to include two non-Muslim Waqf members in the central Waqf. However, during the parliamentary debates, Amit Shah, Union Home Minister, had claimed this was not the case and it was being misrepresented. Another provision states that only individuals who have practiced Islam for at least 5 years can donate property to Waqf. Additionally, the bill proposes that government property identified as Waqf will no longer belong to the government and the local collector will determine its ownership. The government has insisted that the law focuses on property management, not religion. The BJP has stated that Waqf bill was developed after consulting a board group of people, including non-Muslim minorities. The party argues that the law is needed to address irregularities in the management of Waqf properties, which have prevented benefits for women and children, allegedly. The BJP has also claimed that large properties have been taken over by Waqf due to opposition's appeasement politics in the past. Jammu and Kashmir Assembly witnessed chaos today following remarks made by Aam Aadmi Party MLA Mehraj Malik about Hindus, leading to multiple MLAs being marshalled out by officers. According to reports, Bharatiya Janata Party MLAs objected to comments allegedly made by Mr. Malik, in which he claimed that Hindus wear a tilak but sin all the time. This provoked a strong reaction from BJP MLA Vikram Randhawa, who condemned Malik's remarks. Quote, "Today he has insulted Hindus. Will he do anything he wants? We will protest this. He has insulted Hindus by saying that Hindus wear tilak and sin and steal from people, drink alcohol. We will tell him what Hindus do," unquote, Mr. Randhawa said. Amid the uproar, Mr. Malik also got into a heated debate with People's Democratic Party MLA Vahid Para. Quote, "You have been a traitor. He has brought in the mafia. There are so many people outside. Who are these people?" unquote, Malik told Para. Later, speaking to reporters, Mr. Malik responded to the accusation saying, quote, "He tells me I have no respect for manners. He will teach me," unquote. Mr. Malik also claimed that he had been attacked by BJP workers. Meanwhile, Awami Ittehad Party leader MLA Salman Khurshid accused the National Conference-led government of planning to adjourn the sessions due to the ongoing disruptions. Quote, "They will shout, create ruckus for 1 to 2 hours and adjourn the house till the third day is completed. But today, we will demand that session be extended by 5 days. At least for 3 days, the proceedings of the house did not take place," unquote, Mr. Khurshid said. He also questioned the absence of Chief Minister Omar Abdullah, asking, "Where is the leader of the house? Why did he not come for the last 3 days?" This was the third day of chaos in the assembly. On the first and second days, opposition parties and NCMLEs protested, demanding an adjournment motion to discuss the Waqf Amendment Act. However, the speaker refused to listen to the issue, stating it was currently under legal challenge. During the protest, BJP MLA Vahid Parra was marshalled out as he attempted to raise the matter in the house. People's Conference Chief Sajjad Lon also got into an argument with NC MLEs who were demanding a discussion on the issue. Tahawur Rana, key accused and allegedly the main plotter in the 2008 Mumbai terror attacks, is being flown to India in a special plane after exhausting his legal options in the United States, sources have confirmed. The plane is expected to make a stop for refueling and is likely to arrive either tonight or early tomorrow. This move follows the US Supreme Court's rejection of Rana's petition to halt his extradition to India. The Supreme Court order issued on Monday read, and I quote, "The application for stay addressed to the Chief Justice and referred to the court is denied," unquote. Rana had previously made a similar request in March, but it was also denied. In his application, he had argued that he was suffering from several health conditions, serious health conditions, including an abdominal aortic aneurysm, Parkinson's disease, cognitive decline, and a suspected bladder cancer mass. He claimed that he would not survive long enough to face trial in India and alleged that he would be targeted due to national, religious, and cultural animosity. In February, during a meeting with Prime Minister Narendra Modi, US President Donald Trump announced that Rana would face justice in India. This was confirmed in a joint press conference between the two leaders. Rana, a Pakistani origin businessman and physician, is linked to Pakistani-American terrorist David Coleman Headley, who played a significant role in planning the November 26, 2008 Mumbai terror attacks. Rana is believed to have connections with the terrorist group Lashkar-e-Toiba and Pakistan's Inter-Services Intelligence, or ISI. In the US, Rana was acquitted by a jury of providing material support for the Mumbai attacks, but he was found guilty of two other charges and sentenced to over 10 years in prison. Following a decline in his health after the COVID-19 pandemic, he was released from prison. However, he was later arrested as part of the extradition process in India. Despite challenging the extradition, Rana has now exhausted his all legal avenues. Donald Trump's latest tariff war, especially on China, seemed to be doing something that decades of political and diplomatic efforts could not do, bringing India and China together. This is what Chinese Foreign Minister Yang Yi suggested last month when he said that the tariffs are prompting the dragon and elephant to dance. Trump tariffs on China have now reached an extraordinary 104% after Beijing retaliated with its own 34% levy. This has now led to a second full-blown trade war between the two nations, with China vowing to fight American aggression to the end. In response to these tensions, Beijing has made several conciliatory statements towards India. On Tuesday, the Chinese embassy in New Delhi called for cooperation between India and China, urging the two countries to stand together to overcome difficulties. The embassy spokesperson Yu Jing highlighted that China-India economic and trade relations are based on mutual benefits, and added that both countries should unite against the US abuse of tariff. Yu's post also included a message aimed at Trump, warning that trade and tariff wars have no winners. She urged countries to uphold the principle of extensive consultation and to oppose unilateralism and protectionism. Furthermore, the Chinese embassy reminded the world that China contributes to around 30% of global economic growth, suggesting the country's strong position in the global economy. This call for cooperation from Beijing comes after a statement by President Xi Jinping on April 1st, in which he told Indian President Draupadi Murmu in Beijing that India and China should work together. This shift in tone from the highest levels of Chinese government appears to have been prompted by the ongoing trade war with the United States. Meanwhile, Trump tariffs on India are not as severe as those imposed on China. The US president has often criticized India for its high tariffs, but has spared it from the harshest penalties so far. Instead, Trump has imposed discounted tariffs of 26% in addition to the 10% announced for certain goods such as steel. However, Trump may impose additional tariffs on pharmaceutical imports, according to latest reports. India's exports to the US were valued at $89.91 billion in 2024. But sectors such as seafood, vehicles and auto parts could face significant losses due to the new 25% tariff. Despite this, India has said it will not retaliate with its own tariffs, although analysts predict a now possible $5.76 billion loss in exports this year. The relationship between India and China has been very strained, especially after the Galwan Valley clash in 2020. However, recent agreements such as a patrolling deal negotiated in October 2024 seem to have eased tensions. In addition, both Prime Minister Modi and President Xi Jinping have expressed the need for better cooperation, emphasizing that bilateral relations could not be defined by border issues. The Reserve Bank of India, or RBI, has reduced the repo rate by 25 basis points, bringing it down to 6%. This move is expected to lower borrowing costs for banks, enabling them to offer loans at reduced interest, which will help lower EMIs for consumers. RBI Governor Sanjay Malhotra confirmed the decision was made unanimously by the Monetary Policy Committee. This marks the second repo rate cut this year, following a previous reduction to 6.25% in February. The repo rate is the interest rate at which the RBI lends money to commercial banks, from where people like you and I take our loans. When the rate is lowered, banks typically pass on the benefit to customers by offering cheaper loans. Governor Malhotra noted that the global economy is beginning the financial year with uncertainty, particularly due to inflation risk arising from global factors. Markets recently witnessed a mass hit after Trump announced his global tariffs. He pointed out the recent imposition of reciprocal tariffs by US on Indian exports could impact India's growth. Quote, "The dent on global growth due to trade frictions will impede domestic growth," unquote, he said. However, he reassured that RBI was confident in managing domestic growth despite these challenges. The RBI governor also highlighted some positive trends in India's economy. The agricultural sector remains strong, manufacturing activity is showing signs of revival, and the services sector continues to be resilient. Quote, "Urban consumption is picking up with an increase in discretionary spending," he added. In terms of inflation, Malhotra noted that it is currently below target, with a sharp decline in food prices. The RBI has also revised India's GDP growth estimate for the fiscal year, lowering it by 20 basis points to 6.5%. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the news with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app. This is your host Anviti, signing off.